Revelation chapter 12, verse 14. To the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. A place prepared of God, that she might fly into her place. In this concluding part of the vision, where we see the great red dragon cast to earth, there are two things that stand out. The first, which we looked at last week, is the unrelenting satanic attack that the woman faces. This ferocious assault of the dragon, the persecution of the woman, he persecuted the woman. The flood of waters going after her out of the mouth of the serpent. The satanic rage. The dragon was wroth with the woman, it says. And the bloody warfare with the remnant of the woman's seed. He made war with the saints, and there is martyr blood. So that's the first emphasis, is this assault upon the woman and her seed. But the second thing which stands out, and what we want to consider tonight, is that this woman is not alone. She is not by herself. The attack is brutal, but the woman does not face it on her own. There is outside help for her. There is intervention on her behalf. You can see this in various parts of the chapter. For example, in verse 14, she has been given wings of an eagle. Someone has helped her. Someone has given her these wings to fly, to soar. And again in verse 16, whenever the flood of water goes after her, the earth opened her mouth. The earth does not open of itself. Someone has done this. Someone has opened the door of the earth so that the floods may go down them and the woman be preserved. So clearly this text, where we see the dragon and the woman in battle and in warfare, it is not just about the dragon and the woman. There is someone else upon the scene. There is divine providence. There is the Lord. The Lord is in the text. His hand is seen. And so the woman has the cure and protection of the Lord. Things are going to get bad for her, but the Lord never leaves her. That's the thing. And that's what we want to emphasize tonight. It's a bit like the book of Esther. God's name is not even mentioned in the book of Esther. There is a great assault on Israel being planned and perpetrated, and yet God's hand is there intervening, protecting. This is like that. It mightn't say the Lord gave her wings. It mightn't say the Lord opened the earth. It's divine providence. But the Lord's there. His hand is present. So therefore the Lord is present. Whatever you have to suffer, child of God, Whatever you have to go through as a Christian, however great the trial, however difficult the path in the wilderness, however hard the way, however fierce the warfare, however terrible the satanic assault, you will not be left to go through it on your own. That's what the vision teaches us. That's what the vision is about. You won't be left to yourself. The Lord is with you. Divine providence is for you. Help, aid, interventions, you will be a witness to, even remarkable interventions. You may see the devil's hand, but bless God, let this be your comfort. You'll also see the Lord's hand. And so this vision is telling the seven churches and all true Christian congregations and all believers, you will never be on your own. In your wilderness wanderings and your wilderness pilgrimage and all the attack, you'll never be on your own. The Lord will be with you. Just as he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Fear thou not, the Lord says. I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I am with thee always. And here it is in the text. Here it is in the vision. Well, let us see tonight how the Lord is with the woman. Let us observe what he does for her. And the first thing is that there is a place prepared for her by God. Verse 14, the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished. Her place. She has a place. In the wilderness wanderings, in the wildness of the battle, she has a place. There's a place for her, and there's a place for you, child of God. However difficult it gets, her place. Every child of God has a place. The church has a place. The congregation has a place. The Catholic body on the earth has a place. She's got her own wee spot. A little sanctuary in the wilderness. Just for her. A little oasis in the desert. A little shade. A little hiding place. Just for her. A refuge. A place of relief and safety. It's also referred to in verse 6. You'll see there in verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place. Twice the Holy Spirit says it. The start of the vision, the end of the vision, her place. I want you to underline that. Her place. That's what we're thinking about tonight. The place God has for the church. The place God has for you, child of God. Her place. Now there are several things about this place. Most important of all, of course, and this is first, that it is God's place. What does verse 6 say? Where she hath a place prepared of God. God prepared this place. The Lord chose it out for her. The Lord prepared it himself. He got it ready for her. This is a marvelous divine provision. just for his church in the world. It shows the Lord's care. The Lord's care made this place. It might be in the wilderness, but it's God's. It's adequate for us. It's sufficient, and we should be in it. It's the place where we ought to be, in the battle, in the warfare, in the strife, in the wilderness wanderings. Now, this place is not heaven. I don't want you to get that impression. It's not that place that the Lord Jesus talked about when he said to his disciples, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." So the Lord Jesus is preparing a place, but this place in Revelation 12 is not that place. The place that the Lord is preparing for us, but that he has gone to, is in heaven. There's a place in heaven, yes, and the saints triumphant are in that place, but this place is not that place. This place is in the wilderness. This place is here below. This place is the place that we need now in the battle and in the warfare. So it's something that the church enjoys now, and the church militant needs at this hour. It's a place in the wilderness. It's not a place in heaven. Although the Lord prepared a place there too. A place of rest. A place of no tears, of no strife, of no warfare, of no sin at all. That is ahead of the people of God. But this is now. She has access to it now. Another thing about this place, it shows that the Lord is always a step ahead of the devil. The devil comes down, he goes straight for the woman, but the Lord has already prepared a place. He's ahead of the devil. He's always one step ahead. He's not only ahead of the devil, he's ahead of us. The Lord goes before us. He knows the devil's coming down. He knows what we're going to have to face. He knows what we're going to be attacked by. He knows all about it beforehand. And he's prepared the place. And he's given us the wings to get to it. The Lord knows beforehand. He knows what the devil will do. He has prepared this assistance for his people. And that's really what frustrates Satan. That's why it says in verse 17, he was wroth with the woman because she's got this place. He can't really touch her. She's beyond him. And he's angrier. And so it makes the devil mad that you have this place, child of God. Makes him really angry against you that you go into this place. Then thirdly, in this place, the woman is nourished. What does verse 6 say? The woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her. There's feeding in this place. The feeding's not outside this place. The feeding's there in that place. It's a place of feeding. And there are people to feed her too. Because what does it say there? They, plural, should feed her. There are instruments in this place. And they feed her. And then in verse 14... that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished. She's nourished. It's God's place of nourishment for her. I mean, after all, the wilderness is a very wild place. There's not much food about. It's a hungry place. But here is an oasis. Here is a hiding place. And it's adequate because she's fed. There are people there to feed her. She's nourished. This is God's provision for the church. And for her seed with her, for the remnant. She won't be without the necessities of life. Physical, yes, but more especially spiritual. Feed my sheep. The great shepherd has prepared the place that the sheep may be fed and nourished. However dark the day, however intense the battle, however many and great the trials, there's the place of feeding. And you will notice that the place and the provision is adequate for the whole emergency. Because what does the text say? Verse 6, a place prepared of God that she should feed her there 1,260 days, the whole time. And again in verse 14, she's nourished for a time and a times and a half a time. The whole period. Not one day without provision. The whole time of this tribulation. The whole time of this warfare and assault. The whole length of the devil's short time. The whole duration of it. In all his rage throughout his short time, a time and times and half a time, she's fed. She's looked after. So you see what the Holy Spirit is telling us? This isn't just about the dragon and the woman and the warfare. This is about the love and grace and care of our shepherd. That's what this is about. Throughout all the difficulties we will go through, every day the child of God has the care of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is also added that this place is from the face of the serpent. Because it says there in verse 14, into a place where she's nourished for a time and time and half a time from the face of the serpent. The face of the serpent can't go into this place. He's closed out. He's on a leash. He's bound. The whole time he's bound. So that he can't get beyond. And he can't, as it were, put his face, his bright presence, right into her. He can't possess her. He can't enter her. Because she's in the place. And this place is from the presence of the serpent. That's what it means when it says from his face. From his presence. He will never possess her. He will never enter her. There will always be that adequate distance between him and the woman. So this place is a place of separation from his possession and presence. He will send out water after her, no doubt, and floods after her, but he is restrained from getting too close. He is on a chain to some extent. Child of God, there is always a place for you in the heat of the battle, this refuge from Satan. That's what the vision is saying. Well, what are the paint materials behind this? What imagery is the prophet drawing from when he sees this painting? What is the Holy Spirit painting to us? It must be something in the Old Testament here, because all the visions, as we've said, have been drawn together and painted up with the paint materials of the Old Testament. We said that at the very start. You don't dare enter into the book of the Revelation until you've digested the Old Testament scriptures. Well, I said last time that the backdrop of this is Israel in the wilderness. The journey in the wilderness. Did Israel have a place in the wilderness? Yes. The tabernacle. They had the place. It was her place. All the tribes, it was her place. And God was there. And the enemy could never get in to the center, into the place. There was the cloud and the pillar over the tabernacle. There was the place prepared by God. Wherever they went in the wilderness, that pillar and cloud always made the place available. Always marked out where the place was to be. And the tabernacle could be set up where the Shekinah glory rested. The place. The tent of meeting where they met with God. The devil can't take that away from you. You'll always be able to meet with God in the place. 40 years of wilderness journeying never interfered with that. Every day the tabernacle was present. Every day they could abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Every day they could look toward God's holy place. There was always a place. There was always the throne of grace. There was always the Shekinah glory and the divine presence in the midst. There was always the priest and the sacrifice, the altar and the incense. There was always the access to God. There was always the light and the showbread in the place. There was always the grace and the blood for cleansing. It was always there. It was always present. Is the warfare hard, child of God? Are you under the devil's attack? Are your trials great? Are they many? Are they severe? There's a place for you. You can come before the Lord. You can enter right into the holy. You can abide under the shadow of the Most High. As God has said, behold, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. There's a place. There's a rock to stand on. A Savior to abide in. Remember how the Lord said, unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place. Within my walls, within my tent, within my tabernacle, enclosed within, there's a place. I'll give them a place. This is what the prophet is talking about here in the vision. I'll give them a place, a name, better than of sons and daughters. I give them an everlasting name, and they'll not be cut off. The woman will survive. She'll not be extinguished because of that place of God for her. So you have the Lord as the place. The Lord himself, in a sense, is this place. The God of my rock, as the people of old used to say, in him will I trust, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my hiding place. Remember whenever David fled from Saul, we think of fleeing here. The people of God who had to flee, David was one who had to flee. And Psalm 57 is a psalm of flight. And whenever David had to hide himself, he had a place. It was a cave. He had a hiding place even beyond that physical quarter. For he said, O God, my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until all of these calamities just overpass. They go over my head because, Lord, I'm in this place and I'm under the shadow of your wing. And they'll just fly over me. That's this place. God has this place for his people. No matter what the devil fires out, no matter how great the apostasy, no matter how many heads the beast has, no matter who comes up out of the waters, no matter what devices are formed and framed, there's always this place. Psalmist said in another psalm, I looked on my right hand, behold, there was no man that would know me. No refuge I could find. No man cared for my soul. There was no help in man. But I cried unto thee, O Lord. And I just simply said, thou art my refuge. That's this place. A place prepared of God. Of which God said to his troubled people, his tried people, his people who, although they are cast abroad among the heathen and scattered amongst the nations, yet of them God says, I will be to them as a little sanctuary. Her place. This is a wonderful place. You should be in it, child of God. You should be making use of it. We have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. That's his place. The throne of grace, that we may obtain help when the floods come, and help in time of need, and mercy because of our sins. And we, through him, Christ, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. That's this place. The place of prayer. The place of crying unto God. Then there is the endless food here. The showbread. The light for your soul. The nourishment for your spirit. You have food. No matter how great the battle and dark the day and intense the warfare, we have the food. We have a Bible. We have God's Word. The devil can't touch it, can he? He's tried to. He's tried to burn your Bible, you know. He's tried to wipe it off the planet. He's tried to wrench it from the people of God's possession and cause it to be extinct in the earth, like many a creature has become extinct. He's caused to make God's word extinct, but he has failed. And we still have our Bibles, as God has promised, so that we're fed and nourished for the whole time and times and half a time. He cannot take our food. Because the Lord has prepared our table in the very midst of our enemies, and they can't snatch it away from us. And you have nourishment, child of God. Every day you can have nourishment. Every day you can have a morsel for your soul. Every day you can have a crumb at the very least from the Master's table. All the days of tribulation, nourishment. access to the Scriptures, the place of the Word. The Lord is my shepherd. He feeds my soul. I never want. He causes me to lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Even in this wilderness, don't we get so much from the Word? Doesn't it feed us? And the more intense the battle is, the better the feed seems to be. Because he's promised. It's in the text. You'll always have the food for your soul. There is the place of the local congregation and the ministry of the Word and the means of grace. The little oasis in this wilderness world which we love to come to Lord's Day by Lord's Day. And other meetings too. The place where we get something that we need. Something that we need for the week ahead. Something that we need for the rest of the time and times and half the time that is still continuing. And so there is the ministry of the Word for you. Because God has given you a place. Do you ever thank God for the place he's given you? Where you get fed? Where you get a crumb for your soul? The woman will always have pastors and teachers to feed her. Notice verse 6. They should feed her. Now, we could perhaps preach a sermon on that they. These are the pastors and teachers that care for the woman, that Christ sends to her to feed her. Feed my sheep. He calls them and he thrusts them into that place. He sends them there to the woman, wherever she's found in the strife. And God commands them and says, you feed the woman. You feed my sheep. You feed her seed. Remember the Lord Jesus to Peter? Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. I'll give you pastors according to mine heart, he says to the woman, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, the Lord says to these people in this day. The Lord says to them, take heed unto yourselves, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers the flock of God, to feed her. To feed her. They should feed her. That's what every minister is called to do. I don't read that. They should entertain her. They should joke and jest with her and make her feel light. I only read they should feed her. Because that's what she needs. She's not in a place of joking. She's not in a circus trying to get on in life. She's in a warfare. And there's a Satan that's filled with woe who has come down to destroy and deceive all that are on the earth. And this woman is in a situation where she just needs to be fed. What did Peter say to the elders? Just the same as Paul. Feed the flock of God, which is among you. We always have something for our souls because of these feeders. If they're doing their job, if they're laboring in word and doctrine. However dark the days, however terrible the persecution, whatever we have to face, we can still come together to be fed in the local congregation. And we have found it so, I trust, have we not? In the worst times, have you not got a word for your soul? Has the Lord not encouraged you at that time that the devil brought you down? Hasn't the Lord always had some crumb for you in your time of need? And your Bible has become a little sanctuary, and the ministry of the word and the congregation has become to you a little oasis in the wilderness. I've said that Israel in the wilderness is the main image in this vision. Israel having that place in her midst. They have the nourishment also, the manna, the supply, you remember. 1 million souls, it was some supply. She was always fed. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Yes, he did it. In the wilderness, there was a place for Israel, and she was fed every day. And whenever she got to the land of Canaan and the land of promise, then it stopped. You don't need preaching when you're in heaven. But you need it now. You need it every day now. And when you get to heaven, that's the time you can stop. That's the time you can stop coming under the ministry of the word and stop attending the means of grace. When you get to heaven, but not now. You need it now. In this place, there is a presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Bless God. This place in Revelation chapter 12 makes us think of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is tied up with this place. The Savior promised us the Comforter. The waters run through the wilderness, you remember, from the rent rock. The waters that followed them in the wilderness. There was a provision to quench their thirst. The saints have one to strengthen them. The saints have one to help them and nourish them, without whom the pastors and teachers would be useless. The one who really feeds us is the Holy Spirit, working through his word and through his servants. The Spirit helpeth us. There's a place of help by the Holy Spirit. The church has this help. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities, Paul says. There's a place where we get help. We don't know how to pray, but there's a place where we get help to pray as we should. It's the Holy Spirit. And we haven't received the spirit of bondage to fear, but the spirit of adoption. We have a place. A place where the children can come. A little sanctuary for the sons and daughters. And they've been given the spirit of adoption. And they can cry unto their heavenly Father. And they can say, Abba, Father. They can just cry. In this place, the church has God's watchful and all-seeing providence on their behalf. The guides and leaders of the church, he directs and places and moves about in his providence. He opens doors and he closes doors, and he sovereignly controls all things for his church, protecting her. In this place he builds her so that the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. And to build her, he must control providence. He must control the earth. He must control all things, and he does. The earth opens because the Lord controls all things. His all overall providence is protecting the church no matter what happens. No matter who arises out of the seas, no matter what beast comes, no matter what nations fall, the Lord is in control, and all things work together for good. And for the furtherance of the gospel and the preservation of this woman. And what church history can tell us of that marvelous overruling providence on her behalf. Bringing down nations, even persecuting nations. But the church always remains. He cast out the heathen before them and divided them an inheritance by line and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. He's in control. In this place, the church even has a ministry of angels. Angels minister to this woman. Maybe angels were sent to open the earth so that the floods may go down and she'll be delivered. Angels serve you. It's a wonderful place. Remember whenever the Lord Jesus went into the wilderness? What does the Bible say? He had the battle, he had the warfare, but it says the angels came and they ministered to him. The place of the ministry of angels. Angels are here tonight, you know. That's why the head covering, that's what it's all about. It's not just about us here, you know. In this place, there are angels. And no preacher should be discouraged that they're small numbers. The angels could be packing the place out for all we know. They could be hearing the word every bit as much as you are, and they are. How many, I cannot tell. Other wilderness wanderings and places of refuge and flight also come to mind when we read this vision that are in the Old Testament. And they also illustrate this place, this refuge in the wilderness, this provision. I think of the two wilderness witnesses, Elijah and John the Baptist. John the Baptist, of course, is a kind of Elijah. The Lord Jesus Christ calls him Elijah. And it is interesting, as we said whenever we read 1 Kings chapter 17 to you, that Elijah's concealment was 3.5 years. The 3.5 years of woe, of the persecution of the prophets, of Jezebel's rage, of the attack, and seeming very few believers on the earth, so many thousand that had not bowed the knee to Baal. And Elijah himself, who represents them. And the symbolism in this vision is alluding to other 3.5 years in other parts of Scripture. But I think you can't forget about the Elijah years. Elijah had a place. A place that God prepared for him throughout the whole time. The brook Cherith. The wee widow woman in Zarephath. All was a hiding place for him. All was a provision. He was fed. He was plentiful fed. He was fed constantly. He was fed every day. In that dark tribulation time, he didn't want those who fed him were most unusual. They were weak. They were poor. They were even unclean, some of them, the ravens. But he got plenty. They came in the morning. They came in the evening. The ravens fed him every day. God feeds his church through sinful men. Men who themselves are like all believers. Sinners saved by grace. But they are adequate in God's grace to feed you. Unusual instruments, weak instruments. A widow woman who can't even feed herself and her son. And yet God is going to ordain that she'll feed a prophet for the whole time. This is the Lord's doing, because the Lord has a place. And he can use the weakest instrument. He can use the poorest preacher. He can use the humblest saint, because it's all of God and all of grace. And Elijah just thanks God for the place the Lord gave. You can see how David can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's the bedrock. I shall not want. And this vision is a perfect picture of all of that. The Lord will look after you, child of God. Trust in Him. Trust in Him at all times. However difficult the path, however dark the way, however great the battle, however terrible the floods that are coming your way,